This is Mr. Go Get It back to you once again with another episode of Speaking the Real. Y'all remember last time we was in the Power Studios. I came back to Power Reality Studios to actually talk with my brother, man, Trap D, over here in Jasper, Florida, man, the 386, man. He's a very talented brother. I've been knowing him for, I actually met him a couple of years ago and found out he was entwined with the family and love music, you know what I'm saying, love everything about the music. So I brought him back on to introduce him to the world out there. He's an engineer. He's he got a track record with a lot of things. So I'm going to let him actually say what the deal is and on what all he got going on, because only he knows what he actually got going on. But I know he's a good brother. He's helping some young people in the 386 now with their music. He's a person that's innovating them into the way of letting them know that the music is for, you know, letting your feelings out, but also, you know, to the point of letting people know where you're at in your own mind and mental state. And that's a good thing, especially in 386 with what we got going on. So right now, I'm going to introduce my boy Trap D. To y'all that's listening, go to the Speaking the Real podcast, and you'll actually have a video of this on Speaking the Real podcast that way. And we are actually in his studio in Jasper, Florida. So this is a recording, but it's on the Speaking the Real podcast with Mr. Go Get It on YouTube. Speaking the Real podcast with Mr. Go Get It on YouTube. Okay, Trap D, my man.
Yes, sir.
Listen, we was in here, I think, a week ago, so with John Dottle, Carl Gleason, and Joe the 386, the Hitmaker. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get a chance to actually talk with you or let you get on there and say a few things, because we was actually trying to bring in some artists that, you know, with the great record label GGI. Okay. And to show that we're family and we're unified. I said, now, when it comes down to the music, what actually, now I'll tell you what, give me a history, so that where you went to school at, if you've been in the armed forces, anything like that. What, you know, let the people know a little something about you before we get into the talk.
I went to the military, did 14 years, Navy and Army. Got out in like 2017. And I was in Virginia, and I went to a guy's studio, and I think he made a beat for Lil Wayne. It was a nice, like a little small compact studio. And it just, how I seen him orchestrating, and when I seen him make that beat, it just did something to me. And I said, I want me a studio too, just like this. It wasn't no big time studio, it was a small studio like this. Come in, do what you're supposed to do, and you go.
Right.
And I got cool with the guy. And me and a guy from Virginia, I recorded my first song. It's called Stacking Cream.
Stacking Cream.
Yeah, and the guy, he did like 10 years in the feds. I got cool with him. He was a Muslim guy. He prayed, you know what I'm saying? And he was teaching me all kind of stuff. And he's like, man, this is my people. And we did a little Stacking Cream. And the rest was history then. And I just fell in love with music since then.
And that was 2000 what?
That was like 2003 when I first got in the military.
Oh, okay, 2003. So yeah, the music, hip hop was popping real hard in 2003. Yeah, it was banging, and that's when I think it was just around the time when a lot of people actually was trying to start messing themselves into the game and started to realize that it was actually, you know, some finances in it.
Yeah.
So when you say you did 14 years in the military. You said the Navy and the Army?
Yeah, Navy.
So you did like 7 and 7, or you did?
No, I did 5 years in the Navy, went around the world twice, mm-hmm. did 2 tours, and then I got out, so my dad was like, the Army make you a man.
Right.
So okay. We had a program called Blue to Green, and I did that, and I was stationed in Albany, went to Fort Stewart, then I transferred to Florida. And I got out when I came over here in live boat at the Army. We was comeback engineers.
Okay, you so comeback engineer. What's
it's that? Like heavy machinery operators, where they do like, they got like semi truck, like flatbeds and things like that.
Okay.
Transferring tractors and things like that, Humvees.
So when you actually traveling around the world, so basically what type of music did you actually listen to? And then what type of music did you hear out there on the other side of the world or in all these countries, you know?
They listen to like the same type of music we listen to. Yeah. It was just, I was like, Tupac and Biggie, like this, the music that they put out over there, like, I ain't seen it, I ain't know Tupac and Biggie. They had an album together, they just put it out overseas. And I actually had a CD case full of CDs, and I bought the CD, and it was nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was called Seven Deadly Venoms. Tupac and Biggie made it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I actually seen something like that, but when I read, I seen a picture of Tupac, but I didn't get too deep into it, because I thought about the Seven Deadly Venoms that you watched on the martial arts. When you kind of figure what you want to do in music, did you want to be like an artist? Did you want to be like a producer? How did it form for you to say, okay, when you started, like, actually listening to me, getting me, when you see him being an engineer, the first thing came to your mind was being an engineer?
I wanted to be a rapper first. Everybody wanted to be a rapper you want to be a rapper? I rap. I'm like, I don't want to do that. So once I went to a studio and I looked at what the guy was doing, I was like, I don't want to rap no more. I want to do what he doing. I want to make people sound good. Because you make people sound good, I already cut hair. Right. So you make people sound good and you make them feel good when you cut their hair. Yeah. If I can make you sound good and give you a nice haircut, sound good and look good, that's what everybody wants.
Right. I just built your self-esteem to the point of way, you know, it's sculpture. It's like a sculpture. I can sculpture your hair and your face. And I can sculpture your sound and your music.
Just transferred it over.
So what made you come up with the name Power Reality Studios? Because I see that's your main focus, Power Reality Studios. I've done some work with you, and I can say that you're real raw. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Real raw, and that's good. So when it comes down to the name that you have, it fits to me. It fits because I don't work with you. Yeah. But Power Reality Studio, what made you come up with that name for your studio?
I started out recording my good brother, Jarvis Gibson. His name is J Reality G. Yeah, Reality G. And I'm pro black. I'm down with my culture.
Right.
And he always, they call me Black Power. So, and he was always J Reality. So, JG Reality. And he always called himself Jasper Gill. And he just put the reality behind it.
Okay.
So, I recorded him. I've been recording for about 10 years, and he was the first person I recorded, like, just constantly recording him.
Okay.
And I just named my studio, me and him, Power Reality Studios.
In
power, and when I record him, he gonna bring his lyrics to reality. Mm-hmm. That's how I came up with that name.
I'm gonna give you a little story and give everybody out there that's listening a little story too about a name. My son got a song called Chances in Reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that song actually generated from me and his cousin, God bless the dead. Regan Archer that passed away back in like 2000, if I'm not mistaken, 2003 or 4, somewhere around there. And me and him had a group in South Carolina called Chances in Reality.
Okay.
I was Chances and he was Reality. What it was, the chances that I took, he was the reality of what happened to him. Because I couldn't get caught. I didn't get in trouble.
Yeah.
I kind of squeaked through in South Carolina. But every time he turned around, bam, he was in trouble. You know. And I was taking a lot of chances when I was in South Carolina. So we named it Chances of Reality. So for you to say that, it's like you had a structure. And you had a structure. You got a structure with a brother. That y'all still have that same structure. But y'all still moving you know, in the same however, but you know for yourself that shows you that that's a part of your foundation. And that's another thing I talked about a lot in the speaking here about is the unity and unification of people. You know what I'm saying? Especially the unification of a people that actually is look the same, talk the same, and basically live the same. So, you know, you remember one of the questions I asked Dundarden was about family.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to family, your feelings towards family, and matter of fact, how many kids do you have?
I got 5 kids, 2 girls, and 3 boys.
Okay, so family is like charity. Let's say charity begins at the home. So how, when it comes down to family, you value family. You know that's how you build it up.
Definitely.
So if it came down to a teenager, let's say you had a teenager, because you know we got a lot of violence, gun violence, and it's coming through the teenagers. We done lost a lot of young people in between here and Lake City.
Yeah.
The 386. Now we done lost a lot of people. And I'm speaking on Jasper and Lake City because I'm in Jasper Power Rally Studio with my man Trap D. So when it comes down to the gun violence, if it was something that you could say to a youth to keep him away, or something that you could do for you to keep him away from them, even having to think that he needs a gun amongst his own people, because that's what we kill them. We're killing each other. So what is one of the things you would do and say to a youth to try to deter him from either toting a gun or even using one?
I basically, it's hard living in this world. For one, you have to arm yourself regardless of where you go. Even in the church house, they got security. But I basically tell them, it's just how you carry yourself. Even me, I'm registered to tote. I just don't nobody know it, but just know, you have to protect yourself at all costs. But in the community that we in, these cats don't need to be trying to tote no gun. It's just the music that they listen to and make them do it.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things I was like. Now, when I say this is what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say that I don't think the music make you do it so much as you actually want to live it because you see it. A lot of children right now is accessible to everything now.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can talk about swimming all you want to, but if you ain't never jumped in the water, you ain't gonna really know how it went down.
That's right.
So, and a lot of times you have to see a person swim. Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to the youth, they got access to too much.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the little ones. Once you get 18, I'm about all, in my mind, and this is how I think. Once you get 18, I think when it comes down to what I can tell you about life and what I can show you that I do in my household about life, that falls out to when you get out there at 18, 19, 20, however many years you go. Then that, you know, it's like, because I was always taught, you get up for work, you go to work. When you get to work, you work.
That's right.
That's what I was taught. So now that I do it, I still do it right now today. Sometimes people look at me and be like, he come to work every day. Or he always work on time. Or he always work early. Mm-hmm. It's because it was something that I was taught and I saw. I saw my mother, you know, I saw my stepfather. I saw this. So a lot of it comes to what the kids are accessible to now, the internet, well, it's powerful because you just showed me some stuff in here today in the studio. I'm like, man, back when I was doing this, you know, when we was punching it in, I just punched it in. You were like, no, man,
it's so easy to record now. It's just like second nature. I've been recording for about a good 10 years.
About 10 years?
Yeah, about 10 years.
And so when you actually come into the studio, How long you end up being in here? Like, I mean, as far as in here recording, or as far as in here doing some work for somebody, like, bring, how long you end up being here? Just on your own, thinking in your own time.
Me getting a feel for music, I don't try to stay in the studio no longer than 4 hours. Because once you an engineer, you listening to music constantly, it takes a toll on your ears.
Right.
So I just limit myself to 4 hours. Because it was like the average engineer shouldn't be in the studio no longer than 4 hours.
Okay.
And I always do that. They were like, man, how long you been in the studio? No more than 4 hours. It shouldn't, if you got a good recording, it shouldn't take you no longer than 2 hours or an hour to mix that song down.
Right.
If it's been 2 hours more on the song, that mean the song ain't gonna, it ain't, that ain't it.
Right, yeah. So actually your thing is, you know, you crafted it.
Yeah.
So when you started, you actually kind of, you studied.
Yeah.
What you had going on.
Yeah.
That's what I be looking for as well. When I be talking with anybody, is have you studied what you're doing? Or because you know you got your beginners, when you got your in between, then you got your, how you say, the veterans, the ones,
yeah,
you know. And but you're still learning, because you sometimes you learn just tweaking what you, the same thing you're doing, yeah, doing over and over. So 4 hours is the maximum.
Yeah, 4 hours is the maximum.
Okay, and do you, when you do those 4 hours, I'm actually trying to get to like your feeling when you in it, like your mental state, your spiritual state, how you feeling when you in here? Because sometimes, you know, even when you're in it by yourself, like me, when I'm doing something, if I'm loving what I'm doing,
mm-hmm,
it's almost like I end up getting caught up in it longer than what I said I was going to be in it, you know what I mean? Do you ever get done like that, or you always cut it off right at 4 hours?
I cut off right at 4 hours sometimes, but I just will come in here because we all got lives, kids, and things to do. So I come in, oh, I got about an hour, I go in the studio. If I got a session that I need to do,
mm-hmm,
I go in there, probably tweak the beat a little bit, tweak the vocals, save it, boom. And I have it, you know what I'm saying, have it set up to where, oh, tomorrow I'll come in here, give me another hour and work on the hook part.
Okay, okay, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I was like, you can't, probably 5 days maximum on a song. That's how I try to keep it.
Okay.
It shouldn't take you know, 2-3 weeks on a song. The mix, it'd be like, if you take it that long, your engineer don't know what he's doing.
Yeah. So It now it's about the production of it, getting, yeah, it out fast. I remember back when we was recording, and this was a long time back when we were recording, it was like everything got to be on time.
Yeah.
It wasn't everything got to be out now. It was like, so it was guys like back then, they would keep our music sometimes, you know. If you got it back within 5 or 6 days, it was almost like trash.
Yeah.
Now you can, but that's from technology.
Yeah.
Same, you know, that's just the technology of it. So when you get in here and you do record, do you ever come up with things in your mind, like as far as songs or lyrics or anything like that, or is just always the flow of the beat that's really, you know, that captures you totally?
Oh, it's just what I go through, and I just try to, if I got a feel, if a beat come across me and I feel I have to say something on that beat, I'm like, hey, I like the song, I want to do something on it.
Okay.
It ain't that I just want to come here every day, like, because most engineers, they'll come in, they'll have an artist in their studio. I'm not one of them artists, I'm not one of them engineers that every time somebody come to my studio, I got to get on the song with.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That
okay.
Ain't how I ain't falling in love with music.
Right.
For that, I just fall into, yeah, play my part.
Cause earlier you said, first I thought I wanted to be a rapper.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
you know, and that's because it could be the way what caught you, and what you went through, like when you, as far as your situation with in the Army. You know, being an engineer in there, I'm dealing with heavy equipment. So now you're dealing, you're dealing with heavy equipment right now, you know, when you deal with the power out in the studios. And like I say, the sounds that come up out of here, it's good because you actually did sounds for what? Didn't you do sounds for Dundotto?
Yeah.
You did sounds for Hitmaker too, didn't you?
Yeah, Hitmaker.
Okay, that's Joe 386. Yeah, okay, so we, you know, they went to GGI camp, so, you know, They've been rolling, and they come right here to Power Reality Studio. Anybody that's in the 386 area, you want your music tweaked and done good, make sure y'all holler at them on Trap D now. You can follow him. Matter of fact, let them know where they can follow you at, so that way we can, you know, they'll know. And like I said, to the ones that's listening overseas, you can go to my YouTube page, Speaking the Real YouTube with Mr. Go Get It. And you could be able to visually see this. We inside Trap B Studio. Trap B, just let them know where they can follow you as far as Instagram, Facebook, all your social media pages.
I'm an Instagram junkie, so you can follow me at Mixed by Trap B on Instagram. And my Facebook page is Travis Black Power Simmons. I don't too much post on Facebook. That's my family page. And everything I do, I post it on Instagram, Mixed by Trap D.
Okay, that's on Instagram, Mixed by Trap D. Okay, so now, we're gonna get a little bit, like, you know, outside the box a little bit here. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about a little, the first thing you do. Now, when it comes down to your sports, what's your favorite sport? What sports you like to watch?
I like basketball, you know, I'm a Laker fan.
Okay, Lakers. Well, I'm a Laker fan too. So so basketball is your favorite one you watch. So you be telling me you're sitting there and watch 88 games? Or, you know, if you
call. No, if the Lakers playing, I'm looking at them.
Okay.
I'm going to look at them.
Right.
We Florida, so I got. I'm a Miami Heat fan too. I can't forget about the Heat.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, Lakers got LeBron over them right now. So when it comes down to the basketball is your number one sport.
Yeah.
So you watch football. Like me, football is my number one sport. But I watch basketball. I watch baseball too. I watch about anything if it's eye catching.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially to me, like certain teams playing.
Yeah.
You want to see? I be wanting to keep up with certain teams when it comes down to basketball. When it comes down to football, I watch them all. Yeah. So what other things you kind of do outside of the music that actually gives you a calmness to come in here and do your music, you know?
I be cutting hair, and like if they love the drop fade I give them, man, you ain't had no Trap D fade, man. And if you can make a person feel good by cutting their hair, that's just a joy. I never try to overdo cutting hair. Like, I just cut hair a couple of hours out of the day.
Right.
Because I don't want to cut hair. Oh, I cut hair this time. Because I don't want them to kill my joy from cutting hair. That's why I cut it short.
Right.
You do something too long, you're trying to do too much, it'll kill the joy that what you love doing. So I don't never try to do nothing too long.
It's almost like balancing it out.
The way
one thing don't overtake the other. Yeah.
And that's
true, because sometimes, even if you like doing something, love doing something, you always doing it, sometimes it can get boring to you.
Yeah.
Or you can overdo something. So when I take the time for this, just like you said about when you come here for the 4 hours, you make sure if I'm going to get 4 hours, I'll get 4 hours if I need to. But if I don't, if you take the 2 hours and I'm done, I'm going.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you're a family man. Your kids and whatnot, and that's another thing about the in this music industry. All of the people that I have met have kids. You know what I'm saying? They got families. They working, and they trying to get it from the muscle. So you know, it's good to know people in your area that's doing. That's why I was glad when I met Trap D. I mean, he in the 386. My thing, he in my hometown. As a Black Jasper, and it's good to know that they into what you into, because all of us into, some of us are into the same thing, some of us, everybody listen to music.
Yeah.
But everybody got a purpose on what music they listen to. Some people listen. Some people just listen to gospel. I don't know. Some people that just all they listen to is gospel. They don't listen to hip hop. Okay, I run into people that listen to R&B and that's all they listen to, jazz. No, but I run into some people that listen to everything. Like me, I listen to everything except heavy metal.
Yeah.
Cause I don't understand it. I have to hear the words. I want to hear what you're saying because I think words, even when the people trying to deter you from somewhere, words still mean something. You know what I'm saying? So if it don't make no sense, I'll be like, what are you talking about? You know, or what are you talking about, you know?
I done got to where I try not listening to too much of rap.
Oh,
I hang.
I listen to old school.
Yeah, shout out my brother Big Dub. He every time he comes sit in the studio with me, he always pull up. He playing old school. Man, old school is good for the soul.
Yeah.
So I done hung around so much, and I done got to the point where I'm playing a bunch of old school. My daddy, what you listening at that for? I say it's good. So and that done kind of helped me out balancing. Listening to music, I need a lot of that old school music. Good.
Yeah, and I listen to a lot of old school music. I listen to hip hop, but I don't too much listen to the newer music because I don't understand. The lifestyle showing me that the music is a little, you know, the music is kind of like rough.
Yeah, you know, it's like this is the image, and
right.
I can't. Then if you're not living that, you can't. You shouldn't rap it. That's just like
because
I'm in a service. I'm politicians. I've been in the government for a while, so I'm not gonna rap a street person's life.
Right.
I'm more power for my people. I'm gonna rap political stuff like that because that's what I've been around majority of my life.
And that's where you trying to make a change at anyway, because that's what you hear. And that's what the problem is. Honestly, now is it's not those people are not just in hip hop.
Yeah.
Those people are implanted everywhere now. It's just people that okay, I'm gonna get in this lifestyle because it looks beautiful. I'm gonna talk like I did it, and I don't know nothing about this lifestyle. It's just that hip hop has a light shining on it because we are actually destroying each other within the system of hip hop. And we don't really need to destroy each other. What I mean by destroying each other, we killing a brother because of something he said.
Yeah.
Or cause the way he looked at me. You know, and it's not because I killed him because he was attacking me.
Mm-hmm. And that's the sad part about it. I ain't finna rap nothing like that because that ain't how we can. It's about controlling the youth. And if I can't grab, I might not be able to grab a five. As long as I can just grab that one.
Right.
And he can grab one.
Yeah.
Each one teach one.
And it grows like that.
And it grows like that.
The crime, and it get to the point where the crime and the violence may not stop, but it'll slow down.
That's it.
It's kind of like what I said, you know, what I believe is that, you know, I believe you can't be sinless, but you can sin less.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's things just like when it come down to the violence. If we look at it, everything we look at and listen to now is violence. The only thing you don't really hear in violence now is, you know, the gospel music. You don't really hear the violence in there.
Yeah.
But you even got R&B song now with a little bit of touch of that. You know.
Yeah.
It comes with that, but it's because of what we sin. And then it's because of what we portray in our own mind, the way we become about it. We are who we are from the mental state of where we at.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. So. But I feel like that the hip hop that's out there now, it's too many, like you say, it's too many that ain't lived it. You know, you heard about it, you read a book, you watched a movie. You know, so really, a lot of the people that actually live that life, they don't make it to see $10 or $15 million in the music game. If they didn't make it in that life they was living, they it was hard for them to stay in the music, because you barely even made it to the music game, because you were dead before you got there, or you were locked up for the rest of your life. You know, yeah,
that's real. So yeah, that's my greatest quote from Malcolm X. Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. And another one of mine from him is, because we were hoodwinked and bamboozled and run them up. That was that name, because we have been. We've been taught a way of life that wasn't our way of life. You got to go all the way back. You know, until you go back. And what I mean by go back, listen to me. If we was building as African American blacks, or whatever they call us, if you was building back then to have a Black Wall Street, you know what I'm mentioning?
Yeah,
back then to have a Black Wall Street back then, with all the technology that what we have now, what's wrong with trying to build another Black Wall Street? Mm-hmm. You feel like, oh, I'm not. It's so many excuses of why. One could be, oh, because we done come so far. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but our children killing each other.
Yeah.
So how far have we really came?
Yeah.
You know, because our children killing each other. And I be telling you, until the children see us build, they ain't going to build. We always want to jump on somebody else's ship.
Yeah, that's
building true. Our own ship. That's why I love Damien's dad. Damien's dad said, if you don't want me to ride with y'all, I build my own, and that's how you have to. That's the mindset everyone need to have. If I can't unify myself with you to the point of where we equal, if I unify myself with you, it's always got to be somebody bigger. Why we just can't be equal? Because all our thoughts matter. Now I understand you might have to climb up the ladder if you just coming in and it was already built before you got there.
Yeah.
Now if it was already built before you got there, yeah, you got to climb the steps. But if you were somebody that was there when it was down here, and now it's way up here, and I'm still trying to keep you down there, something ain't right.
It's real.
Yeah, that's just speaking in real, though.
Yeah, that's just like, I listen to a lot of Denzel Washington quotes.
Yeah, I love Denzel.
I don't try to get into the racial thing. I say, man, it ain't about, I ain't racist. I'm just down with my people. So, when I say Black Power, I'm going to just say I do it for the culture, because it's a cultural thing that we do. I was raised.
Well, see, this is my thing. The reason why I don't, when I talk about Black people unifying themselves, you can say I'm racist all you want to. But what I'm going to tell you is this. When it come down to my people, I was taught that if I can't unify and get along with my own people, how can I go anywhere else and get along with somebody else? And what I mean by that is, even if I deal with the other side, I'm still always going to deal with this, oh, you over here, I'm not just going to shut you out because I've seen they doing this, and since it's opposite of what you were doing when I was with you, now what you were doing was wrong. No. Yeah. What we have to understand is everybody do things different. That's, you know, everybody don't do things the same. And everybody want to be different.
Yeah, everybody want to be different.
The only time anybody want to be the same is when they want you to come where they at.
That's right.
That's when they want to be the same, because, okay, if we look at it, just like this shirt I got on, Reebok. Okay. Yeah, I got on the Reebok shirt, but if you take the Reebok off, put Adidas on there. It's the same material, the same shirt, but I just gonna put Adidas on there, put the tag Adidas. That's what it is, man. It's recycled, and it's different, and it gets to be different so I could be different. But when it comes down to the building part, we should always want the next man to have as much as we want to have, even if the next man may call the carpet of himself that's not having.
Yeah, that's right.
If you gonna call the carpet yourself not to have, that's on you. But they ain't got to worry about me being the one holding you back from not having. Yeah. That's what I mean when it comes down to my race and the unification. We done got to the point the way we'll hold the other one back just because. We might not even be in the same atmosphere that you in. What I mean by that, you might be selling cars, I'm over here selling pies. But you still mad at me. We ain't even in competition.
That's it. Because that's just like, I got a thing that I live by. The first time I looked at the Jesse Owens when he won the Olympics.
Yeah.
And he got up there and put his fists in the air And I said, I got a quote that I say, if you ain't about your people, what you raise your fist for?
Right.
And I, every time, if people be like, man, when I record a movie, man, you'll stamp my music. If your music ain't trying to reach, if your music ain't reaching or teaching, if I say, if you ain't about your people, what you raise your fist for? If, when I say that, it's stamped. That's right. My slogan.
Right, yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's right, because if you look at it from the beginning, from the time of everybody, even the people that we read the Bible, we read the Holy Quran, and if you look at it, it's all talking about unification. It's just that we have picked out parts that we want to try to, everybody want to seem they're more superior than the next. And that's not the case. It's not that you're more superior than anybody. What it means is you put here. Now, everybody got a different gift. Everybody got a different talent. Yeah, you can sing and I can't. Now you can write songs that I can't. But I know how to get out and make your song sound better.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So these are the things that we gotta realize that, and you gotta look at that on every aspect of life. It, you have people telling the hip hop nation that they need to be able to get along. But when you can walk in a church, you can walk in a courthouse, you go on a walk in a public city meeting, and people in there acting just like what they saying about the hip hop nation. It's just that we got a different style of how we put it out there. The hip hop nation use the jury, the flashy cars, and then you got the political people use the intimidation. Y'all know how that thing go. We use the intimidation on each other, and then we just don't worry about the people out there. It's an inside beat up on your jaw. I ain't gonna say nothing about the churches, because everybody know what's going on. Mm-hmm. They ain't not gonna come at them, but all us human. Mm-hmm. We not perfect. And that's what we gotta get in our mind. Say, hey, man, you know what? I ain't perfect. All I'm gonna do is pray I could do better, and pray that my brother and my sister over there, they'll ever do better. We keep it moving. Yeah, but once we start telling the person in the room, we already done judged.
Yeah. I live my life, everything. I live my life, it's simple. Life is just like a puzzle. If I see a person that's connecting with me, I'm going to connect with that person. Put your life together like a puzzle.
That's right.
And people that don't want that, because you'll do a puzzle, well, that piece don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
You find the pieces that fit and keep it moving.
That's right. Just put it together like it's supposed to be put together, man. Mm-hmm. Listen, this Trap D, man, engineer. I know I got on some subjects with him, because people that can actually like can engineer and do music the way he do it, and the way I watch this man break down the music and make people's voices sound different, you know, and cut it in to make it sound a connection. And matter of fact, when I say a connection, I'm talking about he unifies the music together, man. Mm-hmm. So I know once I talked to him. And got him in here and sat him down, I knew he was going to be able to break some things down. And that's what Speaking in Real is about, man. I talk to anybody on whatever walk of life you're in. And right now, I got the Hip Hop Nation. When I say the Hip Hop Nation, I'm talking about guys just producing, guys just engineers, artists, promoters that we're going to be coming on here. We're going to be talking with me. We're going to talk about Speaking in Real. We're going to talk about what they love doing. And we're also going to talk about life situations. So y'all keep on tuning in, man. Like I said, to the hottest podcast in the 386 right now, man. And we're going to keep on moving, and we're going to keep on getting moving. You know, and actually, I'm going to be talking to any and everybody that want to speak the real. And it's your real. It's what you think, how you feel, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, once you tell a person that they're wrong, almost, in a sense, you have already judged, and we shouldn't judge, because ain't none of us perfect. We can understand that, well, if we do wrong, the spotlight shine on you. A lot of times the spotlight just shined on you because you've been acting like you ain't been doing nothing wrong. And then the spotlight just shined on you, and there it is. This is Mr. Go Get It with Speaking the Real, man. My man Trap D, man. We was in the Power Reality Studios, man. Like I said, in the 386, y'all make sure y'all get with him. This is Speaking the Real, Mr. Go Get It. We out. Peace.